Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chav Gimel. I'm dictating this on Erev Yom Kippur. Mitzvah Shem, again, I wish everybody a good Gibben Shtior, an easy and meaningful fast, and Mitzvah Shem, we shall be zocha to learn together for many, many, many years to come. So we begin with the words Rava Omar, about 8-10 lines down from the top, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. And yesterday's share, right at the very end of Chav Beis Amud Beis, we brought down from Rav Yehuda that he says that you're not let to go and put incense al gabe gacheles. You can't put the incense on the gacheles itself, on the coal itself, because you're going to extinguish the coal and you're going to likewise light the incense. So he said it's also to do so. So today we have an opposite view, more make of view. Rav Amar, 8 lines down from the top, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, al gabe gacheles nami mutu. He says not only can you put it on the gabe cheres, Rav Yehuda said he did allow you to go put the incense on a hot earthenware because there was no issue there of putting it out or lighting it up, but he had prohibited you putting it on the coals. And Rava says not only can you put it on the gabe cheres is mutter, but he says even al gabe gacheles is nami mutter. It's permissible to put it directly on the coals itself. Why is this not a problem? He says meat did have the abisra agume. Just like you're allowed to go and roast meat, you can put a piece of meat on the charcoals, even though initially when you put it on, it's going to be mechaba the charcoal a little bit, and then ultimately it's going to cause it to light. Nevertheless, that's allowed because this is ochel nefesh. So just like you're allowed to go put meat and roast it on the charcoals, so too you're allowed to go put the incense, according to Rava, on the charcoals. Where it says, Doresh Rav Givia Mibei Kosil. This is Rav Givia, who came from the city called Bei Kosil, and he darshened over here Apischo de Reish Galusa. He darshened in the opening to the Reish Galusa's house. They used to Mustama have large shiurim there, and he darshened the following. He said, Kitura is Shari. You are allowed to go and burn this ketura, that is permitted. Now, what is this ketura? Omalei Amemar, my ketura. He asked him, what exactly is ketura? The two possibilities, what this ketura be. E ketura biyode, if you're telling me it means to basically do some sort of a pressing of the clothing, as Rashi explains, is to take the sleeves or the leggings or the trousers of pants, and this was shochaluke hanoshim, certain types of garments that women would wear, and you'd want to have them perfectly pressed, shemakantinoson aleitz chaluk, and you would press them on a flat piece of wood, o aguda shel koshim, or on some sort of a binding of hard material, and this is a maisei uman, Rashi says, va'osir. Now, why is it called ketura? So he says ketura is a lashon of kesher, of knotting. So they would use somehow knots in this process. So if you're telling me, Amema says to Rav Gvia Mibei Kosil, that this is allowed, ketura is shari, if it's this pressing of the clothing, why should it be allowed? It should be forbidden, because maisei umanhu, it's a professional activity which you're not allowed to do. Ila Ashin, if you're telling me the ketura comes from a lashon of smoking, Rashi says, lashon kotur hakivshon, it means to smoke. So then, also the ha'kol mechaba, because when you go and place something on the coals to have this smoke come up, you're going to extinguish the coals. So therefore, you're over mechaba. So I don't understand, the member says, why this is permissible. Some of the Ravashi answered for Ravriya Mibei Kosil, Li'olom Li'ashin. It is the second type of keturah that you're talking about. It is to be Ma'ashin. However, he holds that you'll have to go and do this smoking, let's say for the fruits that we discussed yesterday. You want to smoke it so the fruits will have a nice aroma to them. You're allowed to do this no different than you're allowed to go and roast meat. Midi Dahaviya Bisra Gumri. And Ravriya Mibei Kosil said that you are permitted to go and roast the meat, so too you're allowed to go and be ma'ashim the fruit in order to make them taste better and to have them a nicer flavor. Ikadiyamri, a different version of this discussion, was that Amemar, when he had heard Rav Gevia Mibei Kosil say that ketura is permissible, ketura shari, so he asked him, Omale Amemar, my ketura, what do you mean by ketura? Iketura yodei, again, the first part is the same. Do you mean that it's the pressing of these sleeves and of these trousers? So then, my sumunu, that's not allowed. Now here, the second part's a little bit different. He said, if it means the ketura, it means la'ashing, to go and smoke the fruit, so then it should be osir as well, because the komolud recha, because you're creating a fragrance over here in these coals, and therefore it should be not allowed. We discussed molud recha yesterday. You're not allowed to go and create a new fragrance. So Rav Ashi said, here, in this version, Rav Ashi responds as follows. No, we're dealing over here with la'ashing. I know I'm re-saying I asked this halacha to Rav Gavia, or Mishmei de Gavra Rabba, and he answered me back in the name of a great person, Amrisi Niele. He said back to me, doesn't say who this great person is. In any event, he said the answer that we gave previously, Olam La'ashim. We are referring here to when he said Keturah Shari, is that you're allowed to go and smoke the fruits. Why? Because this is no different to me, Didavi Abisra Gurmi, because no different than roasting on the coals. You're allowed to go and put the incense on these coals over here in order to go and smoke the fruit. Now we go to the third and final statement that we said in the Mishnah, that a certain kula that Rabbi Gamliel had done, which the Chachamim disagreed with. And we quote the Mishnah, which says, Osin Gidi Mekulas. It said the Gidi Mekulas was to go and eat on the night of Pesach a roasted Gidi in a very similar fashion to the way that they roasted in the Beis HaMikdash with the intestines on the outside and roasted whole. And this was the way they made the Beis HaMikdash. They made the Korban Pesach, and he allowed them to have a facsimile of this on the night of Pesach. He was not concerned that this looked like they were eating kachin outside the Beis HaMikdash. Bryce gives us a little bit more detail. Tanya, Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi said, this custom arose in Rome as well. Todus Ish Romi, he was a very chosh of a person, as we'll see in the Gemara. Todus Ish Romi, Todus, who came from Rome, his name was Todus, Hinig Bnei Romi, he set up the custom in Rome that Le'echol G'di Mekulus B'Lele P'sochem. So they would do exactly as Rav Gamliel did. So they set up this custom of eating what could be mistaken, but obviously wasn't kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. The rabbis were not happy with this. Shol Chulei, Yomali, Todus Ata, if it wasn't for the fact that you're the great Todus, Gozrani Alecho Nida, we would put you in Chayim for doing something like this because it is incorrect, this practice, because Shatam Achel is Bnei Yisrael, kachim Achutz, because you're causing people to eat kachim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Mor says, really? Eating kachim? Todus Yisrael, he never said that this was Korban Pesach. Kachim Sol Kedaitav, do you really think he was talking that they're actually making a Korban Pesach over here? As Rashi says, who made this Kodesh? What are you talking about? So he says, yeah, that's not what we meant. El Eima, the Chachamim sent to Todus Yisrael, it looks like you're eating kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. El Eima, ke'ein kachim. And therefore, people are going to, chas v'shalom, come to the conclusion that you're maybe allowed to go and be nakriv a korban Pesach even nowadays. And therefore, Rashi says, Haroa Omer Huktishu LePesach. Somebody seeing this is going to say, oh, wow, that's the Korban Pesach. I guess you are allowed to eat a Korban Pesach outside the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they were unhappy with this practice. And likewise, in our Mishnah, the Chachamim were unhappy with this practice of Rabbi Gamliel. They disagreed with eating the Gidi Mekulos nowadays. Halach L'maisa, of course, we don't eat any roast. We go L'chumra the other way. Not only do we not eat a Gidi Mekulos, but we have the custom not to have any type of roasted meat in the Chashash that somebody can mistakenly think that it's the Korban Pesach. Now we go to another Mishnah, Shlosh Dvarim Rabbi Elozar ben Azariah Matir. Just like we had Rabbi Gamliel, who was Matir for three things, so we find that Rabbi Elozar ben Azariah, who was the Nasi after Rabbi Gamliel, so he was also Matir three things, which the Chacham disagreed with. The Chacham Osrim, they said, no, this is Tumekel, and we're Machmer. What are these three things? We'll explain them all in the Gemara and more. Now we'll just say them. Paraso Yotso Biritzuo Shebein Karnel. Rashi explains that this is talking about on Shabbos, not Yontif. The rest of the Mishnayos here are talking about Yontif, but this is talking about Shabbos, that his cow would go out with some sort of a ritzua, a strap or a string or a thread around its horns. And this, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, was not a concern. But according to the Chachamim, this was a concern because you're not allowed to go and have the animal do work for you on Shabbos. Now, if this was for the animal's need or benefits, then it's not called work. But if this is just a pure ornamental type of a thing, so then he's carrying it for you, and that he's not allowed to do according to Chacham, according to Elozar ben Azariah, it's not considered a masui that he's carrying. Number two, Rabbi Elozar ben Azariah allowed you to do umekardin. Makardin, Rashi tells us, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, is a megreres shel barzel, some sort of a metal comb, sheshineo dakos, that has very, very thin teeth to this comb, on Yontif. He allowed you to do this. This is what we're talking about on Yontif. You'll have to go do and comb the animal with this metal comb with very thin teeth. And this creates a wound. And nevertheless, Rabbi Elozar ben Azariah said, this is not your intention, and therefore you're allowed to do this on Yontif. The Chacham said, no, you can't. And number three, V'shochachin es ha'pilpulin b'richayim shelahen. You'll have to go grind up these various types of peppers in their special grinding instrument, and Rav Elozar ben Azariah said, that's not a problem to do this on Yontif. This is needed for Ochel Nefesh, and you can do this in the normal way. And the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim feel that this is not something that should be done on Yontif in the normal way. Fine. Rav Yehuda Omer, in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says, I disagree with Rav Elazar ben Azariah. He says you can be mekardin as a behemah even with this very metal, thin-toothed comb. So I don't allow that. Ain mekardin as a behemah yontif. Rav Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. Why? Because it's definitely going to make a chabura on the animal. You're allowed to make a chabura on yontif, even though that's not your intention. But you're allowed to use a different type of a comb. Rashi explains this is a megrerishal eitz, shishineo gasos. This is a wooden comb that has very wide teeth, ain osin chabura, and it will not make a chabura. So Rav Yehuda says, I'm not going to make a gezeira from mekartzefin to mekardin, but I won't let you do the mekardin, I will let you do the mekartzefin. In both cases, chacham omrim, you're not allowed to do either one. Ain mekardin, aflo mekartzefin. The chacham say, no, you can't even use the wooden comb. As we'll see, they make a gezeira. If we let you use the wooden comb with the wider teeth, you may end up using the metal comb with the thinner teeth and cause a chabura. Mor starts off and says, Lameimra, when we said that the first part of the Mishnah, the first thing that Rav Elazar ben Azariah permitted was paroso, his cow, singular. Yotza beritzur, shebein karnea, goes out with this strap in between its horns. That implies the Rav Elazar ben Azariah, chada paro havile, he only had one cow, v'homer rav. I would say it wasn't Rav. I really Omer Yehuda Rav. It was Yehuda saying over the name of Rav that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was very wealthy. When they gave him to be the Nasi, when they deposed Rabban Gamliel in the famous battle that he had with Rabbi Yeshua, they Bedavka picked Rav Elazar ben Azariah. One of the many reasons was that he was very, very wealthy and he would be able to go and use his wealth on the benefit of Klai Yisrael to go and bribe the Romans, the persecutors of the Jewish people, if needed. So he was very, very wealthy. How wealthy was he? Tleisar alfei egle, havo meiser, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, me'edre koshata v'shata. There's halacha, the new animals that are born in your flock during a single year, so machlokis, whether that year starts from Elul to Elul, or does it go Tishrei to Tishrei? We'll learn this in Hashem in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Ab Rosh Hashanahim. So one of them is, when do you take off the meiser behema? In any event, during this 12-month period of time, the calendar year, from either Elul to Elul or Tishrei to Tishrei, any animals born during that period of time are counted towards Maisa Behema. Every 10 animals, you bring the 10th animal, you pass them through your corral, and the 10th animal is given as Maisa Behema. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah gave 13,000 animals as Maisa Behema, which meant that he had 130,000 animals. How can you tell me Paroso, his cow? Anyway, before we get to the answer to that, Tosus has a tremendously interesting question. He says, when did Rav Elazar ben Azariah live? He was the Nasi after Rabban Gamliel. And Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Nasi during the time of the Churban. We have many takanas from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after the Churban, in Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Hizkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and we have a whole list of things that he was misakin. So there was no Maisa Behema anymore. There was no Beis HaMikdash. So how could we say that he gave 13,000 agolos for Maisa Behema? So Tosu gives a number of interesting terutzim. Tosu says, the loan is batel alter. No, Maisa Behema didn't stop right away. They still kept taking Maisa Behema for a certain period of time after the Beis HaMikdash. Alternatively, it wasn't Rav Elazar ben Azariah that did this. He was a very young boy, but his apotropos, his guardian, gave this when they were alive during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we know the famous Maisa, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Ani Keven Shivim Shana. So the Bavli says that he was only 18 years old at that time. So his apotropos must have done it as a baby. But I will tell you, the Yerushalmi says that Rav Elazar ben Azariah wasn't 18 years old. It says, Hare Ani Ke Ven Shivim Shana. The Yerushalmi has an opinion that says that he was 68 or 69 years old and he was like 70. So according to this, it would certainly make sense that his apotropos would have given, when he was a younger child, this was 60, 70 years beforehand, so the apotropos could easily have given the Maisa during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, Tosfos says, Inami, Lav Dafka Maisa, wasn't really Maisa Behema. He would give a tenth of his Behemas, he had to give it to the Melech as a tax. So that's what it meant, Lav Dafka Maisa Behema. So it says he took off from his Eda, Ma'aser doesn't necessarily mean for Maisa Behema, it could mean just for a tax on his animals, a 10% tax. In any event, he had a lot of flock. So therefore, how can you tell me paros or yotza beritzur shebein karnea? It should have been his paros, his animals. So the Gemara says, Tana, we're looking at Brisa. Lo, shelo haisa. This isn't Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow that we're talking about. Elo shel shchent haisa. He had a poor neighbor who had one cow. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did not object when this neighbor's cow went out with this ritzur ben karnea. Umito shelo micha ba, nikris al shemo. Since he didn't protest, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, if he had said, listen, you're not allowed to do that, therefore, the guy would have stopped doing it, but But the Braisa says is since Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowed this, it's as if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow went down. That's why the Mishnah uses the terminology parasa yotza b'tzur shebe karnea, because he allowed it. If you have influence on somebody else and you influence them to do good, you get credit for them doing good. But Nebuch, if they do something wrong and you could have influenced to do it right, you're held accountable. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah felt that this was okay. That's why he allowed his neighbor to go out with this, but the Chacham disagreed, and in the Braisa it says that that's why they called it Parasa Yotza, because he could have prevented this if he had held that it was Aser, and therefore he's held as if he had his cow go out with it, even though it was his neighbor's cow that went out with it. Then we say in the Mishnah, Omekardinus Abhem Biyantit, the Mishnah said, according to the opinion of Rav and Azariah, you can even use the metal comb with the thin teeth that makes a Chabura. Tana Rabban, we learn the Braisa. Ezel Kirud, what is Mekardin? The Ezel Kirutzef, what is Mekartzefin? So we have already explained this. So the Gemara tells us, Kirud, doing the Mekardin type of combing, is using a kitanim, a small comb with small teeth that's made of metal, the osin chabura. And because it's made of metal, when you comb the animal, it will go into the flesh of the animal and cause a wound. Kirutzef, that's using the comb that was made out of wood, is gedolim. The teeth are bigger and it's made out of wood. They know sechabura. You will not make a wound with combing the animal with such a wooden, wide-toothed comb. And now we can understand the three shittos we have in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowed you to go and use even the metal comb. We had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who said you can only use the wooden comb, but not the metal comb. And then you had the opinion of the Chacham, who said you can't use either one. So, v'gimel machlokes b'dover, the three shittos over here. Rabbi Yehuda, he's the middle shita, Savar, Dover Sheino Miskavin Aser. Rabbi Yehuda, famous shita throughout Shas, that a Dover Sheino Miskavin, even though it's not your intention, if that's what comes out, it's Aser. And therefore, he says, Miu, Mekardin, that's using Kirut with its Kitanim, the Osa Chabura, to comb with this metal comb with the thin teeth, that's definitely going to make a Chabura. So, therefore, that is not allowed. Even though you would intend to make a wound, it's a Dover Sheino Miskavin, nevertheless, he holds it as Aser. But he didn't make a Gzeira. Kirtzef, which is the wooden comb with the large teeth, gedolim, venos and chabura, so no problem. You're allowed to use that. If you come to use the wooden comb, you may come to use a metal comb. That wasn't the opinion of Yehuda. He wasn't concerned about that. Below Gazrinim, kirtzef atu kirut. We don't prohibit doing the kirtzef because you may come to do kirut. That's Rabbi Yehuda, the middle position. The Rabbanon sabre, namik Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanon hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Dover Sheino Miskavin is aser. However, they say the Gazrinim, we have to be concerned. If we let you use the wooden comb, then you're going to use the metal comb, and you're going to cause a chabura. So the Chacham and the Machmir opinion say Gazrinim, Kirtzef, Atu Kirut. But the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is that Adavar Sheino Miskavein is Mutter. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so look at Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Adavar Sheino Miskavein is Mutter. The famous Machlokas, you know, Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon holds that Adavar Sheino Miskavein, if that's not your intention, even though it's a consequence of what you did, so it is permissible. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I hold like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore Adavar Sheino Miskavein, even with a metal comb, is not what you want, and therefore, even though you may cause a chabura, it is allowed to be done. Makardin is mutter. And therefore, this applies, Ben Kirud, Makardin, and certainly Makartzefin, Ben Kirtzef is Shari. Because certainly with the wooden comb, there's no reason to not you do this. And we certainly don't make a gzeira because we allow you to even do Makardin. Fine. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, how do we paskin? Obsev Amar Law, Amar Rav Nachman, Luchudei. Rav Nachman himself said this, not in the name of Shmuel, Halachik Rabbi Shimon. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon over here. Dov Shem Miskavin is mutter. Shari Belozim and Azariah, Modelo. Because Belozim and Azariah agrees with him, so therefore, let's pass on Rabbi Shimon. More ask the obvious question. I'm like, Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi says, Rabbi Nachman. Well, why don't you say, Veleiman Mar, why didn't the master, why didn't Rabbi Nachman say that the Aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda? Because Shari Chachamim Modelo. The Chachamim is a majority opinion. So why didn't you hold like them and say the Aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Nachman responds back to Rabbi, Amalei. I know I paskin Rabbi Shimon's Shirulei. I paskin without anybody's assistance, so to say, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that a Dover Sheino Miskavin is in fact mutter. But in addition, va'od, Shahari Belozar ben Azariah modelo, since I also have Belozar ben Azariah that says this, so I mention his name as well. But on my own, I, in the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, I paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, Belozar ben Azariah also agrees with me. Now we turn to Chav Gimel Amud Beis. And begin the next Mishnah. We discussed in the last part of the Mishnah the idea that you're allowed to grind the pilpulin in the special grinder that's normally used for them. So the Mishnah continues here and says, Hari Chaim Shel Pilpulin, this grinding instrument that's used by the pepper grinders to go and grind, the pepper has three component parts to it, and each part is a separate entity, and therefore the Mishnah tells us that this Rechayim Shel Pilpulin is Temeya Mishum Shlosha Kelim. It's really three different kelim. Normally, if you break a keli, so then the entire keli is no longer makabel tuma. But here, even if you have to break one part, the other two parts are separate utensils. So he's telling us the physical status over here of this Rechayim Shel Pilpulin. It's three separate entities. The first one, the bottom part, is Mishum Klei Kibul. It serves as the place where the ground peppers are going to end up. Mishum Klei Mateches, the top part is made up of metal, so that is a kli, even a plain, flat piece of metal can be a kli. And the middle part, Mishum Klei Kvara, the middle part acts as a strainer, as a sieve, and therefore it's makabel tuma, as the Gemara will now explain. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Tachtona, the bottom part, that serves as a receptacle, Mishum Klei Kibul, that's where all the ground up peppers go into. The Emtzah is the middle part, Mishum Klei Kvara, that is a strainer, a sieve, that the peppers are the parts of the pepper that you want to go down to the bottom are able to sift through. They're small enough, but the larger chaff doesn't go through. And this normally would not be considered something that is a kli, except the Chazal over here gave this the status of a kli, even though it's not a clay kibble, but Chacham Gozu Tuma ala Kavra, they said that this sieve, this strainer, does, the middle part does have the status, Mishum Oro, because it's like a weave, and therefore, even though it's not made out of metal, it's made out of wood, it is considered the status of a kli. And finally, the top part, El Yona, that's given the status of a kli, because it's Kli Matris. It's made up of metal, and metal, even if it's flat without a base kibble, is capable of being a kli. So the top part is used to actually crush the peppers, so therefore it is considered a kli. That's why this Rechayim Shel Pilpulin has three component parts to it. Finally, the last Mishnah in this beautiful parak, the Mishnah tells us, Agola Shel Kotan, a toy wagon that a child plays with, is Tumea Medrus. Medrus is a type of tumma that is when a person with certain bodily discharges, such as a zova, or a zova, or a nida, sits on something, leans on something, is supported by something, so the avatuma person can transmit the same status of avatuma to the item that they're lying on, sitting on, that is called tumas medrus. So the agala of this cotton, this little toy wagon, since it can be sat in, so therefore it is, if somebody were to be Tomei as an avatuma, so they would be able to go and be metami tumas medrus. If they had a bodily discharge, like a zover, zover, nida, with the sit on this agola shel katan, it would be able to be makabel tuma, tumas medrus. But it is considered a kli, the nitelis b'shabbos, is a separate din, it's allowed to be moved on Shabbos, it's not muksa, because it is considered a kli. Nothing related to the tumas medrus, a separate din, it is considered a kli. However, the Eino Nigreris El Ogabi Kalim. The Tanakam of our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to go drag this Agolo Shel Kotan over dirt because you're going to make a charitz, you're going to make a groove, and this goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we just had previously today, that a Dovashen Miskavein is Osir. So even though you have no intention of making this dirt groove, this charitz in the ground, you wouldn't be allowed to do so because it's Memela going to come, and it would be also according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, you're only allowed to go and move this wagon with its wheels over Kalim, over some sort of a drapery or a sheet of some sort, but not on the actual dirt floor where it would go and make a groove in the ground. Now, we have the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we're going to ask in the Gemara, but we just had the sheet of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. So here we have the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with himself, seemingly, and the Gemara is going to answer the two different opinions of what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion are. So Rabbi Yehuda says, call a kelim in the ground. You're not allowed to go drag anything on the ground because it's going to make a groove in the ground. It's going to make a charitz, and Dovr Shein Miskavein is Osir. But he disagrees, Chutz Min HaGolit. He says this child's toy is allowed to be dragged on even the dirt, not necessarily only on clothing, like we just said, al kalim, but it can even be dragged on the dirt. Chutz min agola mipnei shi koveshes, because it doesn't make a charitz, it just pushes down the dirt, and that is not a concern of the malacha of being chofer, of digging, or making a charitz. The Gemara starts off and says, agola shel katan tumei medrus. It quotes the Mishnah, which says that this child's toy is capable of being makabel tumas medrus. The reason is the hosomichi lobby, because people lean on it. The child or a person who is going to be small enough to be able to sit on this toy, therefore, it is something that is makabel tumas medrus. Then the Mishnah said, he tells Shabbos, unrelated, this child's toy is not considered moktzah, it's considered a kli. And the reason is, Mishum de'ika Torah's kli Allah, as I just said, it has the status of a kli. Then the Mishnah said, "Einu nigreres alagabi kelim." The Tanakhama's opinion was that you can't drag this child's toy on dirt, but you're only allowed to drag it over some sort of drapery or cloth. So the Gemara says, "Agabi kelim in agabi karkalo." This says only over a material or a hard floor, but not on a dirt floor, because you're going to make a charetz. My timer. As I said, you're going to make a groove in the ground. That's a problem of digging, and therefore, even though it's a davar shein miskaven, the Tanakhama goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says davar shein miskaven is aser. So Moshe says, so mani. So therefore, the Tanakhama, who is this? Rabbi Yehuda, he d'omar davar shein miskaven is aser. Because the Rabbi Shimon, homar davar shein miskaven is mutter, if it were to be Rabbi Shimon, he would have said that this is permissible. As we have this famous machlokas throughout Shas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now we have the gears over here, the Tnan, but it says on the side it should be the Tanya. We're quoting a Braisa now. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer or Domita Kise Vesaf. So a person is allowed to go drag a chair, a bench, or a bed. Ito's the bed, Kise's the chair, Safsal is the bench. Ubavashal Yiskavi Lasus Chorets. As long as he doesn't intend to make the Chorets. If it's a Dovr Shein Miskavi, he has no need or intention for the Chorets, so then it is permissible according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, of course, says no. So the Tanakhama certainly goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, but wait a second, keep on reading the Mishnah, Eima Seifa. The next line in the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It gives us the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, Eina kol nigra mishabbos. Normally you're not allowed to drag things on the dirt floor on Shabbos because they're going to make a charitz. But the exception to this rule is chutz min ha'agol, is a wagon. Why? Because the wagon doesn't make a charitz, mimnesha koveshes. It just presses down the dirt. So it's not really digging into the dirt, mimnesha koveshes. So therefore, it goes and pushes it down. It does not make a charitz. So therefore, mimnesha koveshes in, avo charitz lo avda. So how can you have two different opinions over here? The Tanakhama is saying that you cannot drag a wagon because it makes a charitz, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can drag a wagon because it presses, it's koveshes, and doesn't make a charitz. So therefore, both of them seem to be going within the shita, Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar shein miskaven is aser. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, you're right. Trei tanoi valiba the Rabbi Yehuda. There, in fact, are two different opinions over here. Both of them are tanoic opinions. Both of them hold within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda of a davar shein miskaven is aser, but they have a machlokas as to whether a wagon makes a charitz, the Tanakhama's opinion, or it only is koveshes, the second Tana, which is attributed to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Tanakhama, which also goes like Rabbi Yehuda, is written by a different Tana, and Trei Tanoi, Baliba the Yehuda. Both of these Tanoim, these two opinions, go in accord with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of Davar Shein Miskaven is Aser, but they apply it differently as to whether a wagon makes a charitz or a wagon is only koveshes. With this, we conclude the beautiful second parak of Beitza. Hadron lecha yontif, hadron lecha yontif, hadron lecha yontif. Mi'etz Hashem, we return to yontif, and it's a short shiur today, and I really could go on to another amud and try to do another amud today, but let's end off over here because it's the end of the parak. Mi'etz Hashem, we'll make up any additional shiurim that we have to in the upcoming days. And Be'ezus Hashem, everybody should have a good Gibbon Shtor, Gemar Chasim Matova, an easy and meaningful Yom Kippur fast, as I'm dictating this on Erev Yom Kippur. Kol Tov.